That's great. Well, welcome to you all on this Palm Sunday. It's lovely to be with you to worship together. In the name of the living God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
O Lord, open our lips, and our mouths shall proclaim your praise. Give us the joy of your saving help. And sustain us with your life-giving spirit. God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Let us then show our love for him by confessing our sins in penitence and faith. You raise the dead to life in the spirit. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. You bring pardon and peace. To the broken in heart, Christ have mercy. Christ have mercy. You make one by your spirit the torn and divided. Lord have mercy. Lord have mercy. May the God of love and power forgive us and free us from our sins, heal and strengthen us by his spirit, and raise us to new life in Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
The night has passed and the day lies open before us. Let us pray with one heart and mind. As we rejoice in the gift of this new day, so may the light of your presence, O God, set our hearts on fire with love for you, now and forever.
Amen.
Amen.
The first reading is taken from Zechariah chapter 9, starting to read at verse 9. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem. Lo, your king comes to you, triumphant and victorious is he, humble and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. He will cut off the chariot from Ephraim and the war horse from Jerusalem, and the battle bow shall be cut off, and he shall command peace to the nations. His dominion shall be from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth. As for you also, because of the blood of my covenant with you, I will set your prisoners free from the waterless pit. Return to your stronghold, O prisoners of hope. Today I declare that I will restore to you double.
And so, on somewhere, depending on how you printed your order of service, there is a picture of a psalm, a palm, and we use that for our focus instead of holding a palm unless you've got a palm to hand. Dear friends in Christ, during Lent, we have been preparing by works of love and self-sacrifice for the celebration of our Lord's death and resurrection. Today, we come together to begin this solemn celebration in union with the church throughout the world. Christ enters his own city to complete his work as our saviour, to suffer, to die, and to rise again. Let us go with him in faith and love, so that united with him in his sufferings, we may share his risen life. With the cross before us, we pray, God, our Saviour, whose Son Jesus Christ entered Jerusalem as Messiah to suffer and to die, let the cross be for us the sign of his victory, and grant that we who bear it in his name may ever hail him as our King and follow him in the way that leads to eternal life. Who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, now and forever. Amen.
The epistle reading is taken from Philippians chapter 2, starting to read at verse 5. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness, and being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God also highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name. So at the name of Jesus, every knee should bend in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father.
And the collect for the day. Almighty and everlasting God, who in your tender love towards the human race sent your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ, to take upon him our flesh and to suffer death upon the cross, grant that we may follow the example of his patience and humility, and also be made partakers of his resurrection through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
The Gospel reading is taken from Mark, chapter 11, starting to read at verse 1. When they were approaching Jerusalem at Bethphage and Bethany, near the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples and said to them, "Go into the village ahead of you, and immediately as you enter it, you will find tied there a colt that has never been ridden. Untie it and bring it. If anyone says to you, 'Why are you doing this?' just say this: 'The Lord needs it,' and will send it back here immediately." They went away and found the colt tied near a door outside in the street. As they were untying it, some of the bystanders said to them, "What are you doing untying the colt?" They told them what Jesus had said, and they allowed them to take it. Then they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks on it, and he sat on it. Many people spread their cloaks on the road, and others spread leafy branches that they had cut in the fields. Then those who went ahead and those who followed were shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our ancestor David. Hosanna in highest heaven." Then he entered Jerusalem and went into the temple. And when he looked around at everything, as it was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12.
On a recent visit to Bristol, I came across a demonstration. I'm not sure what they were demonstrating about, but I suspect it was something to do with what was happening in the Middle East. They had banners, carried placards, and had hundreds and hundreds of signatures, which they held like a wall on either side of them. It made me think. I haven't been on a demo for ages. There was a time in my youth when I demonstrated about all sorts of things, particularly apartheid. There was a time when I would have said that there was nothing quite like a good demo. I wanted to be active in change. I wanted to make a point. I wanted to be heard. I remember several years later, my eldest son went on a demo while he was at school. Pupils from Tiverton High School marched through Tivy because they wanted the right to wear shorts in the summer. It was the great shorts demonstration of the 1990s. The powers that be were not impressed. There was trouble ahead. I remember telling Matthew that some things were worth protesting over, but I wasn't sure that wearing shorts was top of the list. And of course, There are plenty of things that are worth turning out on the streets for, but I suspect that sadly I have reached the age when the thought of marching with a large crowd and shouting does not fill me with enthusiasm. Quite the reverse, in fact. And then I realise that I have become older, more conservative with a small c, and actually quite enjoy a quiet life. Oh dear. So I have been wondering how I would have reacted if I had been in the crowd on the day that Jesus came into Jerusalem. Would I have been someone who shinned up a tree, cut down a palm branch, waved it in the air and shouted, Hosanna? Would I have been full of optimism and hope that a new age was about to begin? Or would I have held back? Would I have watched Jesus come into Jerusalem and felt afraid, afraid of what might happen next? Would I have become part of the establishment and part of the status quo, wanting to keep things as they are, resisting change? Jesus and his disciples arrive in Jerusalem, and Jesus, Mark tells us, is going to enter the temple. But suddenly, Jesus swerves off in a different direction. Mark recalls Jesus' instructions. The disciples are to go into the village and find a colt, which they must untie and bring to him. Jesus knows there is a colt. He knows where it is. He even knows its history. No one has ever sat on it. Jesus tells his disciples exactly what is going to happen and what to say when it happens. Sure enough, the next verses relate to an exact fulfillment of Jesus' words. Go to the village ahead of you, and just as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, why are you doing this? Tell him, the Lord needs it and will send it back here shortly. Jesus knows about the colt and has authority to take it because he is known as being the Lord. The Lord needs it is the ultimate answer. I would love to know the backstory of the person who owned the colt and the people who witnessed the disciples untying the colt and let it go. What did they know about Jesus? What had they seen? What had they heard that persuaded them to let the colt go to Jesus? Or was it just hearing those words, the Lord needs it? Was that enough? What does the Lord need from me, I wonder? My love, my worship, my adoration, my service, the things that I have, the money that I earn, the gifts he has given me. What am I prepared to offer him? Am I like the little boy who gave his packed lunch to feed the tremendous crowd? Or am I like Hannah, willing to give something I have loved and longed for? If the Lord needs it, am I prepared to give it? Or do I just want to hang on to what I have? Or am I so full of insecurity that I hold back and think that I have nothing to offer, or that the little I have will be worthless to God? Jesus needs the colt because the Old Testament scripture is about to be fulfilled. Zechariah prophesied that the Messiah would ride into Jerusalem on a colt. A king always had the right to commandeer a beast of burden in ancient times. An unbroken beast of burden was regarded as sacred. A sacred, holy beast was therefore an especially fitting animal for Jesus to ride. Perhaps then it is not surprising that when Jesus enters Jerusalem, there was a royal procession. People throw their outer garments on the ground before him, along with branches from the field. This was a symbolic recognition of royalty. And the crowd also quote from Psalm 118, Save us, we pray, O Lord. O Lord, we pray, give us success. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. We bless you from the house of the Lord. There is an irony to all of this. Firstly, the word shouted by the crowd is Hosanna. It means, O save us now, or save us, we pray, O Lord. The people were saying exactly the right thing, but they said more than they knew. They did not understand the kind of salvation the king was going to bring. This is the Messiah, the king in David's line, and Jesus has come in the name of the Lord to re-establish the Lord's rule and reign as God promised to David. The people join in that expectation and cry out for Jesus to save them. But they misunderstand salvation. They believe that salvation means that the Messiah will come and destroy the people oppressing them. They will be saved or liberated, and their oppressors will be destroyed. They expect Jesus to judge the nations and to save them. They never would have expected that he would judge them and save the nations. Of course, what is missing from this story is any sense of self-awareness from the crowd. They are unaware of their own faults and failings, their own sinfulness. What is missing is an acknowledgement of their mistakes and shortcomings. What is missing is an understanding that the real problem is not the Romans, but it's themselves. Jesus had claimed to be the Messiah, but in such a way as to try to show the people that the popular ideas of the Messiah had been misguided, but the people didn't see it. Their welcome was one which befitted not the King of Love, but the conqueror who would shatter the enemies of Israel. The crowd shouts Hosanna, and this word is consistently misunderstood. It is quoted and used as if it means praise, but it's a cry for help. Save me now. When the people shouted Hosanna, it was not a cry of praise to Jesus. It was a cry to God to come and save. And so the crowd may shout, save me, but they probably don't mean it. Because to mean it, they would have to tear up all their ideas of who the Messiah is and what he was going to do. Jesus came in love. He came as the King of Love to bring love, to show God's love to the world. The Easter story tells us that love will triumph. Love will save. And so let us worship the King of Love this Palm Sunday. Amen.
Let us pray. We welcome Jesus.
We welcome the King.
As we look forward to God's kingdom, we hope for a time when peace will be the foundation and aim of all nations. We look to the leaders of nations where peace is not present, and we call them to respond to the suffering and heartache around them by negotiating and bringing peace. Among other places, we remember Gaza, Israel, Ukraine, North Korea, Haiti, and Sudan. God of all, you made everything and everyone. We pray that people will respond to your desire for all to live lives of peace, and that hope would defeat harm. We pray for all those families, lives, and futures that have been destroyed by war and conflict. We welcome Jesus. We welcome the King. As we look forward to God's kingdom, we hope for a time when love and care are the foundation for all that we do. We give thanks for those in caring professions and those who look after others. God of all, you call all people who are willing to hear. We pray for our health professionals, education staff, parents and carers. We pray that they would be encouraged and strengthened in these times of tight budgets and lack of resources. We remember children and young people who may be facing worries and challenges, and we ask for your help for all who are struggling because of physical or mental health. We pray for Jack, Brenda, Olivia, Rosemary, Mary D, Mary B, John, Alex, Maya, Hilary, Margaret, Pippa, Stephen, Frank, Penny, the King, and the Princess of Wales. And we pray for the family and friends of those who have recently died. Anne Derbyshire, Jeff Walker. We welcome Jesus.
We welcome,
the King. As we look forward to God's kingdom, we hope for a time when all will feel safe, protected, and well. We ask that those who cause harm through bullying, abuse, internet stalking, and cruel messaging may repent of the pain and damage they have caused. God of all, you created us to live in safety. We pray for the police, the criminal justice system, and all who work to protect others and investigate those who cause harm. We pray for laws to be used wisely so young and old alike can live free of fear of abuse and bullying. We pray for those who lead and set examples to young people, that they would be wise in showing the risks of social media. We welcome Jesus.
We welcome
the
King.
As we look forward to God's kingdom, we hope for a time when all will be full of the enjoyment of life and will grow in faith in you. We look to those who lead us in church, in our country, and our neighbourhoods, that they would work to keep people safe and happy, and that they would have the wisdom to spend limited money wisely. God of all, you give us all we need. We pray for our government and parliament. We pray for local elections in a few weeks and the campaigning that has just started. We remember that our church leaders here and in this area, and we ask that they would work together across denominations to bring the life and growth that can be found in Jesus to our friends and neighbours. We welcome Jesus.
We welcome
the King. As we look forward to God's kingdom and remembering that amazing journey into Jerusalem, we look to ourselves. May each one of us, young and old, know the love of God through the gift of Jesus. The power of God through Jesus' death, and the joy of God through his resurrected life. God of each one of us, you know all we are and all we need. We pray for ourselves. May we hear your call on our lives and do all we can to share your love and your kingdom with others. Amen. Merciful Father,
Accept
Accept
these
these
prayers
prayers
for
for the
the sake
sake
of
of your
your Son,
Son,
our
our
Saviour,
Saviour, Jesus
Jesus
Christ.
Christ. Amen.
Amen. The Lord's Prayer. Standing at the foot of the cross, as our Saviour taught us, so we pray.
Our
Our
Father,
Father,
who
who
art
art
in
in
heaven,
heaven,
hallowed
hallowed be
be thy
thy
name.
name.
Thy
Thy
kingdom
kingdom
come,
come,
thy
thy
will
will
be
be
done
done
on
on
earth
earth
as
as
it
it
is
is
in
in heaven.
heaven. Give
Give
us
us this
this day
day
our
our
daily
daily
bread,
bread,
and
and
forgive
forgive
us
us
our
our trespasses,
trespasses,
as
as
we
we
forgive
forgive
those
those
who
who
trespass
trespass
against
against
us.
us. And lead
Lead
us
us
not
not
into
into
temptation,
temptation,
but
but
deliver
deliver
us
us
from
from evil.
evil. For thine
Thine
is
is
the
the
kingdom,
kingdom,
the power,
power,
and
and
the
the
glory,
glory,
forever
forever
and
and
ever.
ever.
Amen.
Amen.
Christ crucified draw us to himself, to find in him a sure ground for faith, a firm support for hope, and the assurance of sins forgiven, and the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be amongst us and remain with us always. Amen. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. In the name of Christ.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you very much, Steve. Thank you for your company today, everybody. I hope you have a great Palm Sunday and see you next Sunday for Easter Day. Sadly, we lose an hour because the clocks change. So we will be sleepy all of a sudden. Well, we'll be shocked, maybe, in a state of shock. But I hope to see you next Sunday to celebrate Easter. Thank you very much for being with me today. God bless you all.
Thank you,
See you
Steph.
soon. Bye-bye.
Bye.
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 Bye-bye. Thanks, Steve.